Amen. I had quite a bit of scripture today, but I thought I would just have a little bit more just to remind us. Luke chapter 23, if you have your Bibles. If not, it'll be on the screen. You're reading from the New King James Version. Luke 23, beginning at verse 32, and then we'll pop over to verse 44 in just a few moments. There are also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. And then down to verse 44, please. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. And so just a reminder that Jesus Christ died for you. There's no other way to come into the very presence of an almighty God except the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, for a few moments, we want to look at this theme, the cross, God's hope for humanity. We're going to look at three different aspects of that today. Firstly, we want to look at the prophecy of the cross of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament writers, inspired by the Holy Spirit, shared what would take place, even to the very words on the cross of the Lord Jesus. Secondly, we're going to be looking at the provision of the cross of Jesus Christ. Salvation, new life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And then we're going to look at the power of the cross of Jesus Christ, daily living in the Holy Spirit's power. Won't be a long message, but I trust it will be impactful as we share today about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Firstly, the prophecy of Jesus Christ on the cross, the key passages that we're going to be looking at. There are others as well. We're going to be looking at Isaiah's passage from Isaiah 53. Isaiah wrote approximately 750 BC. And when we look at these words, and I want to put that up there just to remind you of how powerful God's word is in prophecy. It reminds us that God was so far ahead of anyone else when he shared that with us. Secondly, we're going to be looking at Psalm 22, approximately 1,000 years before Christ, before the cross. In that passage of scripture, we're going to be looking at the psalmist writing, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then the third passage we'll look at is Zechariah 12, approximately 500 years BC. So we're going to look at, firstly, the prophecy of the cross of Jesus Christ. That passage from Isaiah 53, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. And of course, the writer didn't know exactly what was happening, but in the mind of God, the mind of the Holy Spirit, knew ahead of time that there would be those that would mock him, jeer him, spit on him. The writer says, we did not esteem him. Not only did not esteem him or build him up or recognize who he was, but they hated the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Of course, during that time, they made it very, very plain that it was God that punished this criminal. Going on, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Notice the personal pronoun there. Wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So here is Isaiah, had no idea what he was writing about, I'm sure, but inspired by the Holy Spirit, he put this down in writing. We have it today, and we can read in the New Testament almost the same words that Isaiah recorded. And then from Psalm 22, familiar words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Can you imagine the writer, the psalmist, putting down those words, having no idea what would take place? And Jesus Christ crying from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. 1,000 years before this happened, they didn't know anything about that whole area of crucifixion, and yet, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the psalmist wrote, they pierced my hands and my feet. Going on in Psalm 22, I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Again, 1,000 years before this happened, the psalmist wrote that down, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so as we look at this, the whole area of the prophecy of the cross of Christ. And then we want to look at that passage out of Zechariah chapter 12. And I will pour on the house of David. Of course, we know that Jesus was of the house of David. And on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they have pierced. Remember the story, as they went along, they were breaking the legs of the criminal so they could just collapse and suffocate. But when they came to Jesus, he had already passed on. Spirit was gone. A soldier took a spear and thrust it into his side, recorded 500 years before it actually happened. Then they looked on him whom they had pierced. They will mourn for him as one who mourns for his own son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. In that day there shall be great mourning in Jerusalem. And I know that can be also prophetic. But during that time, we can imagine how many thousands of people were mourning. How many people did Jesus touch during those 3 years that he walked throughout Israel? There was great mourning in Jerusalem during that time. So we looked at the prophecy of the cross of the Lord Jesus. Secondly, we want to look at the provision of the cross of Jesus Christ. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can satisfy God. From 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, we read, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. John the Baptist, looking at Jesus as he was coming towards him, in John 1:29, he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Peter records, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So the provision, as we look at that, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only one name. Jesus saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I will come into him and will have fellowship with him and he with me. And maybe today during this morning hour, you might be saying or thinking, something's knocking at my heart's door. And that would be the Lord Jesus Christ saying, are you going to let me in? There's no greater day, I think, to come to know Jesus Christ is on Good Friday, the time we remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we know so very, very well, I don't think we should ever miss a Good Friday without looking at that passage from John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right, the authority to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. We have the right, when we know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, to go into the very, very presence of a holy God at any time and ask him to meet our needs, to forgive our sins, and minister to us in his power and in his strength. It's not something we do. God's word says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We don't boast. We just trust him to do that. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And that's what changes the hearts forever. Oswald Chambers got back to reading him, my utmost for his highest. He says this, his cross is the door by which every member of the human race can enter into the life of God. By his resurrection, he has the right to give eternal life to any man. And by his ascension, our Lord enters heaven and keeps the door open for humanity. And then we want to look at the power of the cross of Jesus Christ to change people's lives forever. As I was thinking of this message, my mind went back to Kenora, Ontario. Kenora, Ontario is the same place that David Cortens grew up, except I'm quite a bit older than he was, and he was maybe just a little guy when I was roaming the streets there. But I remember a scene similar like this, except it was portrayed with living actors. We were called down to the gymnasium. There's going to be a presentation about Easter. Of course, I didn't know very much about Easter, but if you're going to get a free period, especially from algebra, that would be a good time for me to go down and just sit in the bleachers and have a good time. Well, the bleachers were over here and we were seated and the performance was going on kind of the west. And as we sat there, it was very dreary. It was drab. It was a pathetic scene. We heard the jeers. We saw the man, the actor Jesus, carrying the cross as people made fun of him, pushed him around. And then about the time when they were going to lift up Jesus Christ on the cross, I suppose the conviction got a little bit too hard for me. And I think also parallel with that was my rebellion was getting the best of me. There sitting on the bleachers, I could see it today, I could take you there if that high school was still up and running, it's not. I could take you to those bleachers and I turned to my buddy and I said, I can't stand this. Let's go out for a smoke. I fled from that high school auditorium just very, very troubled because they were depicting the one who was supposed to save us from our sin. 3 years later, as a high school dropout in an elementary school gym, only approximately 2 miles from that gym where I fled 3 years earlier, I went forward and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord and King as a 19-year-old. I couldn't get away from that picture of the Lord Jesus Christ dying for me. Of course, that's a long time ago, 55 years ago in May. Within a year, I was on the streets of Moose Jaw sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We as high school students were already putting in the way of the master, sharing Jesus Christ with the people on the streets before the way of the masters, the ones who brought it into being, probably were even alive. And then, of course, the rest is history. God has been very, very good. But it was the cross of Jesus Christ that made the difference. So we have the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. And I just gave a little bit of my story of how Christ came into my heart and changed me forever. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the authority, become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And that's what I did that day. I believed in my heart that Jesus Christ was the Savior, Lord, and King. And I believed that he would change me forever, and that's what he did. Came into my heart and into my life. So how do we personalize the impact of Jesus' death? Well, we do it by making it personal and saying, Lord Jesus, I need you. I invite you to come into my heart and into my life and make me into the person that you want me to be. Between that year, those years of being in that gymnasium in the high school, fleeing from that scene of the crucifixion, up until the time that I gave my life to Christ, I struggled with a lot of things, even about thoughts of suicide. But Jesus Christ was powerful and set me free. And if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. I'm absolutely positive that that is true in my life, and it can be true for yours as well. I cannot think of a greater day in the Christian calendar as Good Friday for you to say yes to Jesus Christ. God says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The blood of Christ removes the condemnation of sin as we repent and confess our sins. That's how we personalize it. We invite him to change us forever. Watchman Nee states this, a clear conscience is never based upon our attainment. It can only be based on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in the shedding of his blood. And I think of that passage in 1 John about walking in the light. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. And that's how we can do that on a daily basis. Going on into the next chapter, it says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation or the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. Has there been a time in your life where you said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, into my life. Forgive me of all my sins and make me the person you want me to be. Or dear ones, you've been a Christian for a long time, but you're not living the life that's presented in the gospel of Christ. And maybe today you need to say, Lord, I recommit my life to Jesus. I don't want to live the way I've been living. I want to make changes in my life, and it can be changed by the power of the Spirit of God. And I trust that you would just do that even today. At the end of the communion, we always give opportunity for people to come and have times of prayer for healing, whether it be physical, emotional, spiritual, or whatever it is, and God can touch and help you. And perhaps that would be a time for you to come down and say, I need to invite Christ to come into my life. Or perhaps you need to say, I need to rededicate my life. I'm living in sin, and I want to deal with that sin today. And you can do that as well. Our elders will be down, pastors will be down to help you and pray with you. And so remember, the cross of Jesus Christ is God's only hope for eternity. As we go into our communion time, I want to read that passage out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And as I do that, I'll just wait for a moment for our service to come down and take their place at the front, and then I'll read that passage of scripture, please.